Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Professor Shane Higgins, Master of the National Maternity Hospital, is with us here in studio today to answer your questions around fertility and maternity. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Shane, two topics in particular we wanted to chat about today. A lot of our listeners would have been reading about this in the news over the past couple of days around weight and age in pregnancy. The first, maybe we'll chat about weight.
Yeah.
And this is figures that have been released from the Coombe Maternity Hospital.
Yeah.
And it's to do with the number of pregnant women who were either described as being overweight or obese and then having cesarean sections.
Yeah, look, that's the tip of the iceberg, really, Andrea. Good afternoon. So our statistics would be very similar to the Coombs. We have a slightly older population than either of the other two Dublin maternities. But in terms of obesity, so our figures show that 10 years ago, about 40% of babies were born to mothers who were considered overweight or obese. And in the last year of data, or this year to date, it's 52% of babies are born to mothers who are either overweight or obese. And we know that a high BMI is associated with poorer pregnancy outcomes. And I think it's important to appreciate from the outset that most women who are overweight or obese will have healthy babies. But when compared to an equivalent population who aren't overweight or obese, they do have more pregnancy complications, and they start with miscarriage. And in pregnancy themselves, they're more likely to have a hypertensive disorder. They're more likely to be diabetic. They're more likely to have their baby born. No, the mom.
The mother, sorry.
The
mom, okay.
The babies themselves. And that's a very interesting point. I'll come to that in a sec. But moms are more likely to have diabetes, hypertension, babies born prematurely. In labor, they're more likely to have prolonged labors. They're more likely to be induced. They're more likely to have a cesarean section. So all of these factors and all these outcomes are associated with overweight and obesity. And you might ask the question, why? Well, we know that adipose tissue is a very strong, potent endocrine organ. So fat tissue can produce hormones. It can affect blood flow. And these hormones and inflammatory mediators can affect blood flow to, for example, the placenta and cause placental disease. They can lead to changes in insulin resistance. And so this is the way in which they can create these problems for mom in pregnancy. But there's also a long-standing hypothesis called the Barker hypothesis, or also now more recently referred to the fetal origin of adult disease. And it clearly shows that babies that are born to moms where there has been a hostile intrauterine environment, and I use that term relating to patients, say, who are obese or who have preeclampsia or who have other conditions, those babies themselves are at greater risk of certain diseases later in life, including diabetes, including hypertension, including heart disease. So it's a very important area, and you know, it includes things like epigenetics, where genetic imprinting is affected by the environment in which the person or the baby is being developed in utero.
Just to give listeners some of the stats around this, like, for instance, the hospital, the Coombe Maternity Hospital's overall cesarean section rate rose last year to 39.6%. That's up from 32.4% in 2018. Mm. And then the percentage of pregnant mums who were described as being overweight or obese when they booked into the Coombe Maternity Hospital last year reached 56.4%. That's an increase up from 50% back in 2018 as well.
So the three Dublin maternities would be seeing similar trends. Our cesarean section rate has increased year on year for the last 10, 15 years, and it now sits at about 38%. But we are seeing that increase in patients who are being described as obese based on a booking BMI, and that's increasing as well.
The issues that you described that can develop as a result of this, from women who are described as maybe obese or overweight going through delivery. What if you're like at the higher BMI end rather than you know, described or categorized as obese or overweight? Like, how much are those, how prevalent or how, you know, problematic are those issues you've described for other women?
Okay, so the definition of overweight is a BMI greater than 25, obese greater than 30, and that's broken down into level 1, 2, 3. You're not necessarily talking about a 3 or 4-fold increased risk of any of these adverse events happening to you, but the evidence would suggest that there is a measurable increase in serious morbidities And in these outcomes like diabetes, hypertension, gestational hypertension, preeclampsia, they're measurable increases, but not to the point at which you can say, and as I started with, most patients who are obese or overweight will have healthy pregnancies, but they are at greater risk and they should be made aware of this.
So listeners got in touch. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number, Shane. Listener says, so am I more likely to have a C-section if I'm overweight, even if I'm slightly overweight? Will that be suggested to me?
No, it won't be suggested to you, but I think because of the risks that I spoke about. So if you develop preeclampsia, and particularly if you develop it at an earlier gestational age, you are more likely to end up with a cesarean section. Macrosomia is defined as a baby whose estimated fetal weight is more than 4 kilograms. If you have a very large baby, it may well be that you won't go into labour, you won't labour well, you're at greater risk therefore of a cesarean section. So there are things that will contribute to that decision-making process. And it's not that at the outset, at your booking visit, you'll be told that you're going to have a cesarean section. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to make that recommendation, but it may inevitably arise.
Okay. Listeners looking for information for expectant mums who feel they've put on weight even in the early stages of pregnancy. How dangerous is that?
Yeah, well, again, we're very keen on measuring the patient's BMI at booking because that's a risk stratifier. It'll tell you where you are at the start, and then the weight that you put on will further increase that risk if you put on a lot of weight. So I think if you have a high BMI to begin with, there is an opportunity either before you get pregnant to see a dietitian and get some advice on your diet, to exercise, to modify your lifestyle choices, to see if you can lose some weight. But if you are pregnant, if you do find yourself pregnant with a high BMI, take the opportunity and ask at your booking visit to see a dietitian so you can get advice on how to control your weight gain during pregnancy, because we don't want patients to lose weight. Mm. We don't want patients to go on a diet. We want them to put on a healthy amount of weight, but to be eating the proper foodstuffs.
Now, interesting text, Shane, from a listener who says, with regards to male fertility, is having gout and the treatment of that considered for poor sperm? My husband has gout, significant improvement once taking the gout medication and resulting pregnancy. This was not a recommendation from the GP. It was something we did ourselves. Sperm is very sensitive to pH.
Yeah, very sensitive. Sperm is very sensitive to a lot of things. And I think I'd need to know what the medication that they chose to take and why, if it wasn't prescribed by their GP, who was it prescribed by? But there's a lot of things. I mean, that's why the scrotum is where it is, because things like temperature, diet, alcohol consumption, tobacco consumption, they can all affect sperm production and sperm quantity.
Around trying to get pregnant, listener says, I don't necessarily think I'm overweight, but I would say that my BMI is probably high. So too is that of my partner. Difficulty trying to conceive. Is this part of the issue?
Yeah, it could well be part of the issue, because patients who are overweight tend to have fewer ovulatory cycles, and the fewer ovulatory cycles that you have, the fewer chances you have of getting pregnant. So if you do have a high BMI, if you have infrequent irregular periods, it's very clear that you need to go and be assessed earlier than you normally would if you were of a normal BMI with regular periods.
Listener just wants to make the point, I'm 44 years of age, I'm a size 22 dress size. I had our one and only baby at the Rotunda in 2018. It was a natural conception and delivery, no preeclampsia or gestational diabetes, and I only missed 2 days off work.
Great, fantastic.
Listener, please ask Shane Higgins, if you do consultant-led care, can you opt for an elective section? And why is it often so difficult to book a private consultant at the moment for this?
Okay, well, there's two questions. First of all, you don't have to go to consultant-led care to request a cesarean section. You can do that at any clinic in any hospital. And your care providers will go through the risks and the benefits. And there are lots of things that will influence that decision. There are far too many to even go into on a slot like this. But speak to your healthcare provider. You do not have to go to see a consultant. You do not have to go privately if you want a cesarean section. But the reason why patients are now finding it more difficult to book a private consultant is, with the new contract that's been offered to newly appointed consultants since 2023, they are not allowed to do or offer private maternity care in public hospitals. So there isn't a private maternity hospital in the country. So over the next 5 to 8 years, we will see the disappearance, I believe, of private maternity care, and depriving women of the choice that many believe they're entitled to pick their healthcare provider, which they won't be able to do.
That's something we're going to have to chat about maybe another day as well. I know a lot of people have questions around that. I want to talk to you about age, because sure. This is the other thing that arose during the week as well. We're seeing an increase in, well, the age of pregnant women too.
We are.
Yeah, and it's probably no surprise.
No, we're not. And in fact, you know, we did a lovely slide for our, I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks back, for our the culture night at the National Maternity Hospital, where we showed that over a period of about 40 years, the average age went from 27 to 34. So that's the average age of every pregnant woman attending. That's a huge jump. And whatever the reasons that women are choosing to delay the having a family, it does have an impact. In 2018-19, we saw that we induced more patients now than labour spontaneously in their first pregnancy. And in 2022, we did the same for patients who've laboured before. So a lot of the things like obesity, advanced maternal age, are having an impact on the service that we provide and the workload of the service that we provide. So patients who are older, and we're seeing more patients, 1 in 8 babies now at the National Maternity Hospital are born to women over the age of 40.
1 in 8. And I saw stats this week too around the number of women in their mid to late 40s having baby on the rise.
Early 50s even are starting to have, some patients are continuing to have babies into their early 50s.
Yeah.
And all through IVF programs. So you won't conceive at that age unless it's through an IVF program.
Listeners, as I'm pregnant, I'm quite concerned about my digestive health. I have painful bloating, gas, nausea. I suspect as well I potentially have a gluten intolerance. I'm worried the fluctuations in hormones could worsen my current digestive health. Could this be an issue?
Absolutely. And progesterone is known to slow motility in the gut. So pregnancy is a very progesterone dominated event in your life, and it does have quite widespread impacts on your body. So that's why patients are nasal congestion, sinus congestion, why they have bleeding gums, why they have an increase in vaginal discharge, but it also affects gut motility. So yeah, it is going to lead. And often patients will describe bloatedness at the end of the day. That's almost certainly the impact of progesterone on gut motility.
Yeah, listeners too asking questions around multiple miscarriages and infertility with regards to weight. Addressing for infertility is something we've talked about on the show many times, and the podcast actually, they're still up, they're on the News Talk and the Go Light app. If you want to listen back to those, you can subscribe there to Lunchtime Live. If there's a particular issue, though, you want us to chat about, you want Shane to address here during making babies, you can drop us an email either. That's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Shane, for the moment, we'll leave it there. Thanks a million,
Andrea,
for joining us. As always,
pleasure.
Professor Shane Higgins, who is the master of the National Maternity Hospital.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.